Jeff here. Thanks for listening. Go to playvolutionhq.com/ccbag or click the link in the show notes for the show's archives, ways to connect, ways to support the show, information about happy hour, and more.
Oh my God, I can't choose. You're going to have to pick.
Welcome to the Childcare Barn Girl podcast, the world's longest running and most prolific early learning podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in the Snuggery along the Gulf of Mexico with me, Carol Cole. How you doing, Carol?
Great. Walking without crutches now. We're doing all right.
All right. You're ambulatory. Is that what they call it?
When
you're able to move around, is that a word?
I'm still carrying a crutch. Like if I'm out and about, I still got one just in case it goes south. But
I think you got to get a cane. You got to get a. The other day. You need a cool cane.
I think my husband was really hoping he was going to get to make me one.
Oh, that would be something with a big Scrooge McDuck diamond on the tip of it or something. A walking stick that would be kind of cool.
I want a snake one.
So it's been over 100 episodes since we had any beach genital talk. Back episode the thousandth show I think was Rebecca and Rachel and I talking about beach genitals. So we're not going to devote a whole episode to this, but ran into some more beach penises. some more beach penises the other day. And so it's been about a year since we recorded that episode, and I've been keeping track. Lots and lots of beach penises still, very, very few beach vaginas drawn in the sand.
Star so drawn. What are you waiting for? It could be the Georgia O'Keeffe of Mississippi.
I guess I could either complain about it or I can do something about it.
So, come on now.
I just don't think I'm good enough. Look, so I'm thinking about how I'd have to do this. To do this, I would have to bring Tasha down to the beach and ask her to pose. And there's no way that's going to happen.
No one should be whipping that out anywhere near sand.
Exactly. And I mean, the only other option is I ask to take pictures. So I've got something to go on and.
So
and
you're standing down there on the beach looking at it and trying.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's going to call the cops.
I've got my iPad out. So anyway, the observation that we made about a year ago that penises are probably just easier to draw is probably why there are more beach penises than beach vaginas. So let's move on from that. I asked before if you wanted a penis update or a arch enemy update. You're going to get both, so you don't know this yet because the episode hasn't been released. I've got a new arch enemy.
Is it a capybara?
No, it's like a 9-year-old girl that moved in above us. And first, I thought she didn't move in by herself. She's got a mother and sister, as far as I know. But apparently, she also has two wooden legs. Because there's a lot of clomping about, there's a lot of music, there's a lot of TV. Yeah. I asked her to quiet down once and she was very polite about it, but that didn't last very long. You have daughters that are fairly close to that age range.
I have a 9-year-old daughter and she is the loudest walker in the house. The loudest one.
So I'm just fucked until this kid moves or grows up.
Like, sorry, you started saying that. I'm like, sorry, dude, I have no idea why that is. And it's never, I don't know if this girl upstairs is the same, but I know mine, it's never just simple walking. It's always like walk, dancing, hopping, skipping.
Oh, she is also in some sort of dance thing that she takes part in. Because
it's never just walking. Sometimes mine will cartwheel from one place to another.
Okay, this, yeah. Okay, well,
Sorry, friend, you're screwed.
I guess I just gotta start leaving poison milk duds laying around or something. No, listeners, that's not, I would
I think about
never.
well, the only other option would be to get her some kind of rolly thing if you don't mind the sound of wheels as much. If like things rolling across the floor wouldn't bother you as much, just drop
Yeah.
off one of those old school like wheel things they break out in gym. She'll never walk anywhere again. You'll just hear rolling across the floor all day.
Yeah, that wouldn't be much better. Okay, so there's this. I think she's in some sort of dance cheer kind of thing, because I mean this is the South, so cheer teams are a thing. So maybe I should start encouraging her, because we're friendly. She loves my dogs and we've talked nice to each other, and she seems to be just a little sweetheart of a human being, except she's my arch enemy. Aside from the
She
fact
walks
that
like a freaking pirate with two peg legs.
yeah.
Other than that,
Aside from the
delightful.
fact that she's making my life miserable, she's delightful. Maybe I need to start encouraging her to be like on the top of the pyramids or whatever it is, or so that she there's more of a chance she'll dislocate her knee or something, so she'll be still for a while.
Those damn kids are like rubber bands. I swear they don't get hurt.
Okay. Well, listeners, I want to reiterate that I'm not going to try to poison the neighbor child, even though she is noisy. That was what we call a joke in the podcasting business. And if you do have any advice on how I can weather my arch enemy, I'd like to hear that.
Buy a
Go
nice
ahead.
area rug and just put it over by their door. See, a gift for you.
Stephanie suggested I get her some earbuds, since part of my problem is her music. If she had better taste in music, I wouldn't even be
Oh, what is she
so.
listening to?
I don't know. There's a lot of language I don't feel comfortable repeating on this podcast. Here through the ceiling.
Oh,
Yeah.
no.
And
That's unfortunate.
if the TV and music are louder than their vacuum cleaner, if I can hear that more distinctly, it is too loud, right? It's not just me being a dick, right? Because I mean,
Like,
we all
I
know I'm a
understand the need to
dick,
party,
but
but get a house then. Don't live in an apartment.
yeah. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the iterative learning cycle, because I blew away my regular morning schedule today. I've got a very rigorous schedule involving taking the dogs to the beach and things along those lines, and I blew it all away to watch SpaceX try to launch another one of their Starship rockets. The
Oh, I didn't know what was
biggest
going on today.
Oh, it was their third, they launched their third iteration attempt into orbit. Look, I know a lot of people that hate on SpaceX because they don't like Elon Musk. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but they are doing amazing things at SpaceX. And so they launched this thing. It's the most powerful, largest. They made it to orbit today. It's the biggest thing humans have put into orbit. This rocket today, and they I mean, it didn't go perfect for what they were planning on, but it was much better than their previous attempts. And every time something that doesn't go quite perfect, the social media works itself up over, oh, your rocket blew up. They go into it with the intention of the rocket blowing up, because they're involved in this iterative cycle of testing things and learning, gathering data, and then testing again until you finally figure out how to do things. They didn't experience a launch pad RUD today. I loved it. Rapid unscheduled disassembly is what they call it when things blow up.
I was gonna say when it freaking fell apart. Is that what they call it?
A rapid
I'm gonna
Rapid
use
unscheduled
that.
disassembly. I think that's a much better name
Tacos
for
RUD incident. Like,
it. So I and watching the feed today, the iterative cycle was mentioned many, many times, because they're trying to build these things. They've got the next four or five in production for just test flights, because the goal is to have these things launching all over the all the time, because that's how humans are going to go back to the moon, and then that's how humans are going to go to Mars. And I know there are people out there that don't think we need to go to the moon or we need to go to Mars, and those people are wrongheaded. And that's just insane. Of course we need to go to the moon and Mars. How are we going to ever invent transporters and replicators? I mean, it just makes sense.
I have no problem with that. I mean, I have a problem with our government and, you know, spending a lot of money to do that and do it poorly. But I mean, if Elon wants to burn his money trying to figure it out, go for it. Thanks, dude.
I mean, SpaceX last year launched more cargo into space than the rest of the world combined.
Nice.
And they're going to do more of it today. And while this thing was in space, they were showing high speed, high definition video for much of its flight in space, thanks to their other program, the Starlink satellites.
Oh, yeah, Starlink.
And it was amazing. But it got me thinking about something I put together on the Playvolutionate site a couple of years ago. It's a handout for the iterative learning cycle, because not only is the iterative learning cycle involved in launching rockets into space, it's involved in everything that goes on in a child-led environment where they're free to explore and discover on them for themselves. Yes. And so the cycle is, first we do something, we try something, we make an attempt, and then we fail, and then we evaluate what we've done. What happened? What data have we collected here? Then we refine our process, and then we try it again. And this goes on with learning to walk, and this goes on with using language, and this goes on with trying to button your shirt or use a zipper, and on and on and on. This is a process kids are using all the time that I think a lot of times adults don't take the time to step back and see as something that's happening.
Yeah, and I think in another episode we touched on this before, but it's like, I think one of the most important things you can do for kids is to let them understand that failure is part of the learning process. It is not an outcome, like end all be all outcome, like, oh, you failed at this. Failure is part of the learning process, because when you fail, then you can evaluate, okay, what went wrong?
Yeah, and one of the this morning watching the feed, one of the SpaceX guys said, I don't know if this was a quote from somebody, that if you're not failing, you're not learning. Which I think that's a great phrase. I think that's a great way to sum it up. And the problem with that is like you say, we built this world where people are terrified of failing at something.
Yeah, me, everything, all day long.
Really? Because
yeah. Yeah, all the time. Usually people think I'm very chill, but really I'm just so worried to the extent where I'm shutting down. So it's like, wow, you're really relaxed. I'm like, nope, I'm falling apart. Rud is what's happening here all the time.
You're having a rapid unscheduled disassembly going on all the time. Now you know what to call it. So how do you embrace the iterative learning cycle?
Oh, I embrace it wholeheartedly for other people. I just have applying it to myself. I'm actually getting better at it with age and this whole process of standing up for like kids' childhoods and what have you, like fighting for what I know they need. It's kind of giving me allowance to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, if we fail, it's not the end. We can just regroup. And I do think, people are probably tired of hearing me talk about this, but I do think schooling has a lot to do with that, because it was either you get it and you get it in this time frame, or we're moving on, we're not waiting for you. It's too late.
Sure.
Like, that kind of setup, which means like, oh, well, if it didn't work, there's no time, because the system is moving on. There's no time for you. But that's not at all how life generally works.
And I remember school, and I mean, this is the 70s and 80s, where it was pretty chill compared to
now,
what I hear things are are today that I mean, kids were we were often nobody would raise their hand unless they knew they had
Right.
the right answer,
Yeah.
because it wasn't looked, I mean, having the wrong answer wasn't looked as if some on as something that was worthwhile to the teacher or the other student. So you have the wrong answer and the teacher looks at you like you're a dummy and the rest of your classmates look like you're a dummy, and that's pretty shitty all the way around. So and
Yeah.
so the environment we've created in a lot of early learning settings and academic settings is the exact opposite of what we should be reaching for. And some of the reading I've done is, you know, a lot of these engineer types that go on to work at places like SpaceX, they grow up in this very rigid, don't make any mistakes academic system, and then they get into the workplace where they have to embrace the idea of failure and making mistakes, and those people have to re-educate themselves compared to the
Yeah.
people who had the opportunity to grow up knowing, hey, it's okay to fuck up because you
Yeah.
can.
And I have to think of where I heard this or where I read it or whatever. But like, I want to say it might have been Dr. Stuart Brown, but I could be wrong. Was talking about how a lot of these like high like tech science engineering companies are now at they're not just looking because they were getting all of these top of the class people who couldn't problem solve because it was like, well, I got it wrong, so it's over kind of deal. Like they couldn't move past that. So now they're asking people like, what did you like doing when you were young? And they're not looking for like, oh, I took Cantonese lessons and I played the violin, and like they're looking for, oh, I like to take stuff apart because then they know that you're comfortable failing at something, but that means that you're going to stick with it, that you're going to evaluate it, that you're going to try again, that failure doesn't end your motivation.
And we're wired for this process when we're little, because take any mobile infant, from the time they start crawling to the time they're starting to walk up the stairs, not crawl up the stairs, but walk up the stairs by themselves. And for most kids, it's the matter of a couple months that they go through
Yeah.
that big change, and it's all about failure and evaluation and refinement and trying again. The first time, it's very rare that a human child stands up for the first time and they do that little knee bounce when they're not holding on to anything, and they
Yeah.
take that initial step or two and then fall down, that they say, oh fuck, that didn't work, never going to
Yeah.
try that again.
Order me a wheelchair. I'm done. Like
Yeah, I'm walking, not for me. Most children, if they're neurotypical and they don't have any cards stacked against them, most human children learn to walk with this process. That's also the way they acquire language. They try things. There's babbling, and then there's things that sound kind of like words, and then there are things that sound like words, and then there are full
Right.
sentences and conversations, and it's fucking amazing. And it is all going through this process of trying and failing and evaluating and reorganizing and trying again. And it goes on really, really fast in a lot of
Yeah.
situations with kids.
This is huge. This is the kind of thing that I was watching, not particularly on the day that I broke myself, Rudd, but it the it's my new phrase. But like I loved being at the skating rink and watching the little kids because clearly they were out of their element. You know, their legs are going everywhere and they're falling down and they're pulling their friends down too and they go, but they all continually get back up. And I mean, depending on how hard the fall was, the overarching thing was not like crying and giving up. They were just like scrambling back up and trying something else or holding onto the wall a little bit more or like just down and back up, like over and over and over again. And I was like, look at that resilience. I fell once, I had to be carried away. But these
Well,
kids.
they were like that until that old lady fell down and everybody had to clear the floor so they could haul her away. And then they're all kind of like,
Yeah.
oh shit. And they probably just sat and ate blue slushies for the rest of the evening.
I specifically was on the sidelines, like still dancing and cheering and singing, just so if any kids saw me, like they weren't traumatized. Like mainly my own kids, but also like anybody else. Like, see,
You've got one tear rolling down your eye
it's
from
all
all the pain.
my bones sticking out of my leg. No, it wasn't, but
Yeah,
you know.
so this cycle, I think this is really, it's really something. If you're looking to observe this cycle, I think the block area is a good place to do it, with kids experimenting with stacking blocks. A process, a real child-led process art center where you've got all the materials available is a good place to observe this.
That's
But
probably where I saw it the most was the art.
sure,
That's it.
yeah, but
But of course, you know, people, then other teachers come and be like, "You're wasting." I'm like, "Get out of my room now. Like, get out."
yeah. And but if, then if you start looking for it, you're going to see it in places like the dramatic play area and the reading area. Once you start looking for this process, it's maybe not as readily observed. So maybe practice looking at it in those places. Loose parts play, when you're providing a lot of different a good variety of loose parts, the way kids start intermingling them and trying to figure out how they're going to use them. I like this with like plastic hoses, because they're trying to figure out what they can put down in them, what'll fit through them, and trying to look through them and listening and talking through them, those kind of things. There's lots of experimenting going on with novel loose parts when they're first introduced into the environment. So those are kind of ways to pay attention to it. But just I think just remembering that this cycle is a thing. That we're trying, we're failing, we're evaluating, and then we're refining our process and then trying again. And we just keep going around in that circle. Just being aware of that as adults makes it a little bit easier to support with kids.
I think there is a show that every episode demonstrates this perfectly. And I'm not one like not telling you to go put your kid in front of a TV, but if like you yourself need to know like what does this actually look like, watch Curious George from PBS. Every episode, it really is. It's this cycle, which is why I actually loved it for my kids, and my older daughter will still occasionally put it on.
The show I would recommend, and this might be, I don't, I mean, other than my recommendation of NYPD Blue and
My
Samantha's,
mother with that show.
your mom too, Samantha's mom and I both have a crush on Jimmy Smits. What's your mom have feelings about Jimmy?
I think it's no, Jimmy Schmitz is he the tall guy or is he the short guy? I get them confused. I know that's
He's
terrible
kind of
to
the
do.
tall guy.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's that guy.
there's the Ricky Schroeder guy too.
No, it's the
The
tall
Silver
guy.
Spoons guy. Anyway, I recommend that show. But also, I was going to say Junkyard Wars. You ever watch any Junkyard Wars? So this was a show back in like the 90s.
With the robots?
No, this is they take these teams, they put them in junkyards and challenge them to build things.
Yeah, I thought they built robots, though.
Well, sometimes they built robars, but sometimes they built bulldozers. I mean, they built all kinds of shit. But that was all you got to find the pieces and figure out what works and do this kind of stuff. And that was kind of a neat thing. But I think in an early learning setting, if you really want to embrace the iterative learning cycle, is you need to set up a tinkering space. Which brings me to the next question. Are you going to have a tinkering space at your program? How
It's
much
gonna be,
space do you
it's
have?
basically going to be a tinkering space.
All
Like,
right.
what else is there to do but tinker? That is like, and even like people who come into my house, like, that is like kids' eyes like get big and they're like, seriously? Because I have loose parts. Like, and it really is. It's like, yeah, anything that's in like, I used to have them in carts, and then I upgraded to a card catalog, like an old school card catalog,
Oh, sweet.
that I like refinished, so it like looks nice in the space. But like every drawer has like loose parts in
Bits
it,
and pieces. Yeah.
so I'm like anything in those drawers you can like. And when kids are like, so I can use anything that's here? I'm like, yeah, anything. Well, what if I use a lot? Like, yeah, okay, you know, like okay. It's like it is like the biggest thing, and you just see the most amazing things when they are tinkering. And it's like, and sometimes they'll get frustrated, and a lot of times all I'll say is there anything else you think that would work? Huh, you know. And then it's almost like, and a lot of kids are not used to being given that space to just explore and try something else.
But
when
Sure.
you point out, like, hey, remember when I said you can use anything? I didn't mean like one clip. Like, you can just keep going back to it and you're like, oh, okay, all right, you know. But I can't wait till I have a bigger space for it.
Oh, that'll be great. You can bring in a welder and a chop saw and
There you go.
let me see, maybe an acetylene torch.
Well, the 9-year-old did say that she could come and help kids with show kids how to use the hot glue gun. So I was like, okay.
Oh, there you go. There you
She's like,
go.
I'll show them. I was like, okay.
See, maybe she
Free
could come to
labor right
town
away.
and befriend my arch enemy and show her how to do crap.
Well,
No.
I can't guarantee that the volume might be any different, but probably it would be. My kids are funny because, you know, I'm not like super strict, but I do explain why we don't listen to certain things, or that, you know, that might be not so great and appropriate. We don't really need to do that. So, but then she'll like be at her friend's house and she'll be like, that's probably not the best thing to listen to. We should maybe listen to this. And she will have them. I was like, oh my God, you're that kid. Like, that wasn't my intention, but she would at least have like more appropriate music on.
Oh, that's fine. It'd be equally loud, but I don't know if that would make things better. The other thing I wanted to touch on about the iterative learning cycle is that we adults working with kids can use it as well. Especially I think when we're trying to tiptoe into maybe some unfamiliar practices for us. So maybe if you're tiptoeing into rough and tumble play for the first time, and the idea of kids just a free for all of kids rough and tumbling, creating their own rules and having total control over it is a little bit much for you to start with. Starting out with the tumbling mats on the floor and everybody on their knees and pillow fighting or something like that, or pool noodles that they're whacking themselves with, or something like that that's something you can test your
Yeah.
own intestinal fortitude, I guess. Test your policies for supporting the play and managing consent and all those kind of things, and see how that works out for you. And then maybe the next week they get to stand up and whack themselves with pool noodles. And then maybe the next week they get to go outside away from the confined area of the tumbling mats and whack each other with pool noodles. And
Yeah.
you can just take these tiny little baby steps towards trying these new things.
Yeah, that was probably one of very early on. I was an aide in a classroom first, like right after, you know, I was certified all of that. And I was an aide in a classroom first, and thank goodness I was put with a teacher who actually did kind of put me on this path. Like, she was the one that said, hey, let's look at this professional development, look at this webinar, which is how I, you know, kind of got steered this way. But she was very open-minded, and one of the first things that I suggested to kind of like tiptoe out for specifically rough and tumble, because we had a lot of very physical boys. We put a mat on the floor and a mat against the wall, and like in like the little like gym area. And I said, okay, you can run at the wall if you want. And they were just running and throwing themselves up against the wall and falling down. And I was like, this might end badly, but you know, I might get yelled at, but let's give it a go. And she was open to it, and it was the calmest afternoon we've ever had.
Sure, that sounds like a delight. Still,
Either.
that sounds like kind
So
of a
like
fun way to spend the day.
I wasn't ready to tiptoe into letting them be rough and tumble with each other. Like, I wasn't comfortable because I wasn't sure how that was gonna go. And a lot of that would happen in the classroom and escalate very quickly. So I wasn't sure how to, but I'm like, let's try this. I'm like, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we had to be open to it. And it just turns out it really did work. So
And when it comes to this, the trying, failing, evaluating, and refining, it doesn't have to be big things that you're changing, little tiny tweaks, and failure might not be the best word sometimes, for what you're looking at. It's like tiptoeing towards perfect, right? If you get something that's 98% right, and then you try something else that maybe improves your what you're doing by 0.5%, 90% good isn't a complete failure. It's just not the thing you're working for. And so I was
it's more of
thinking
a
about
what
this.
works, what doesn't.
Right now, my goal for the in sometime in the next 18 months, this is the timeline we set for myself. I
Oh
want
boy.
to deadlift 500 pounds and I want to squat 400 pounds. And I mean, I'm less than 100 pounds from both of those goals right now. So it's well within the range of something an old guy can figure out. But as the weights get heavier, the you need to be more precise with the technicality of it, because
Oh
it's
yeah.
you don't want to hurt yourself. And so recently, it's hurting yourself isn't good, because then that slows down your
No, it's
progression.
really, yeah. You'll
So
find
recently,
yourself back at that toddler stage of trying to get up the steps by yourself.
I'll be messaging you wondering where to get a good knee brace. But recently, just for my squats, I adjusted the angle of my feet by half an inch, and the form feels better. And just
Yeah.
so that tiny little thing, because with the way my body moves, that just made the whole process a little bit easier, keeping the bar in its desire to go straight up and down, keeping it more in that locked in that channel where it's not moving out of that alignment, because that gets more difficult. And so I'm constantly looking for those little things. And I'll try something for first you try it with the lighter weights, and then okay, that felt good. And then you try it with something heavier, and then you decide whether, okay, am I going to keep this, or am I going to get rid of this? And so just those little kind of
Yeah.
tweaks and the things you're doing in your classroom, the way you do transition times, the way you do the beginning of the day or the end of the day with kids, all of those things, there are always little things that you can tweak and use this cycle, this process, as a way to try things out and find out what makes things just a tiny little bit better and what doesn't. And the things that work are things you can integrate, and the things that don't are things you can cast off. And you're not a failure for trying something that didn't improve things. You're an
Right.
explorer.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that even if you're like, I found it, this is successful, this what I'm doing, and then like after like a longer amount of time you're finding that it's not working anymore, that doesn't just diminish the success you had then. A lot of times you just do outgrow things. Like once you hit like a sweet spot in things, it will you get like better. Like you can add more weight now. But if you were never willing to kind of say, okay, I'm not getting as much out of this as I once was, like you're not a failure because you went from this weight to that weight. Like you just weren't ready for the bigger weight yet. It's like me and this stupid brace. Like now I'm to the point where I'm walking more and the brace is actually kind of screwing with my gait. Like I was getting more knee pain and more swelling, and I was very upset because I was like, I cannot be going backwards. But then I realized that now that I'm walking more, like putting weight on both of my legs, my brace hits the other leg. So I was like turning my foot out and walking like that way. Well, what I did was completely screw up my IT band now. So, but
Congratulations.
yeah. So it's not like, well, it's the wrong brace. That brace didn't work. No, it did work for the time that I needed it to do that thing.
Yeah,
But
now it's
now
time
I'm
to move
like,
on to
no, I
something
don't.
else.
Yeah, now I got to move on to something else. Otherwise, I'll start going backwards. But it's not as if, oh, I did the wrong thing. And at least in my life, this has been a big thing. Like, if I have to change something, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I didn't do it right to begin with. But that's not what this cycle is. It's just reevaluating all of the time.
So really, we got to be a little bit gentle with ourselves to embrace this cycle. Because part of it's ego. We don't want to get things wrong. So there's a lot of ego there. There's a lot of the societal thing about with, I mean, if you grew up in a educational system where there was a lot of pressure put on having the right answer, you probably bring that into adulthood with you. And so breaking up with that is kind of a harder thing to do. But if you can embrace the cycle with trusting kids to use it and creating environments to support that, and then use it to get it on in your own practice as an early learning professional, and even away from the practice, life gets a little bit fun, I think.
Yeah, and I will say again, like, just don't think that failure is waste either. Like, this is the big thing I see, especially in early childhood settings, when they're like, but they wasted all that glue. they wasted all that paper trying to do that. They wasted all of that paint. It's like, okay, if you were doing like a academically driven setting beforehand, all of those worksheets that you had them doing, did you consider those waste? Like, why is that not waste, but using big actual learning happening with maybe more paint than you would have liked, waste? Like, it's not waste when you're getting, when you're gaining something from it, which you will not from worksheets generally. When you're gaining something from it, it's not waste and it's not really a failure.
You have to kind of look long term, kind of like, I mean, it's what SpaceX is doing with their smaller rockets. They spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars going through this iterative process until they've got these very reliable, rapidly reusable rockets. I think one of them has been to space 14 or more times, and their last year they launched just about 100 space launches, and this year they're going to overdo that. And they've made it less expensive by orders of magnitude for humans to launch materials into space. And so you need to look, instead of as an expense, you need to look at this process as an investment in what you're going to end up with at the other end of the process.
The long-term efficiency you gain is going to far outweigh any waste in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of wasting time, thanks for wasting time with another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast, the world's longest running and most prolific early learning podcast that wants you to go out there and iterate. Iterate. It's just fun to say iterate. Iterate. And we hope you don't suffer from RUD.
Yeah, we hope we're not prone to rud, but if you are,
Yeah,
you're in good
don't
company.
rud. If you rud, learn from it.
Gonna make a t-shirt.
Thanks. Back soon. Bye-bye. Forgot to do that
Bye.
part.
I'm not making a t-shirt now. Prone to rud.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.